All right, this is on, just so you know.
Okay, this is on. So, Heather, can you put your microphone up? Adam? We'll call this meeting of the Planning Commission to order for Monday, September 23rd at, I'm hearing this clock's a little bit off, so maybe we can work on that for next meeting, but we'll call it 6:34 according to this clock. Roll call, Perillo?
Here.
Retzloff? Hanson?
Here.
Rope?
Here.
Coppenrud?
Here.
Trustee Dart? And Clausen and Collada present. Did anyone hear from Roger Retzloff? So he's the only one that we are not aware of. Okay. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the agenda? If no changes or additions, I'll accept the motion.
Approve the agenda.
By Hanson, second.
I'll second it.
By Coppenrud. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed nay. The motion carries. Moving on to agenda topic 3, minutes from the August 26, 2013 meeting. I was excused from that meeting. Is there, for those that were here, was there any comments? Tracy, was there anything that you had from a staff perspective?
No.
I reviewed them and I didn't see anything, but I wasn't here, so it's kind of tough. So if I should see head nodding, so
that's good.
Would you like to put that in a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Well, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. We are now on to agenda topic 4, announcements. Tracy, do you have any announcements?
I do not have any announcements.
Then we'll move on to public appearances. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak? But I'd ask that it be on something other than the other agenda topics that we will get to later on tonight. Okay, I'll take that going once, going twice. There will be other opportunities to speak later on depending on the agenda topic that you're here for tonight. We will go on to agenda topic 6, and that is the site plan review for the Windermere Estate at 3001 Riverside Drive. Tracy, do you have any opening comments from the staff perspective?
I don't really have anything to add that wasn't in your packet. I hope you had a chance to look at my memo as well as the information that came out of our staff meeting with the developer. Everything was listed on there as well as the fire department recommendations for the project. Since that time, I know that the developer has made some changes to the plan since he did meet with us at the staff level. So I guess I would recommend that you come off the developer. Now, there's three representatives from the developer here, the property owner, the architect, and also the stormwater engineer. So maybe they can do their presentation if there's any questions that you have, and then we can address it from there.
That sounds appropriate, especially if there's been changes. It doesn't make sense to go through our comments if things have already been addressed. So who would like to speak on behalf of the developer? Please come up to, we're not a scary group, please come up to the microphone so we can all hear and so it's recorded on our audio system because their notes are put on the village website.
My name is Mark Neistat from Keller Inc. I appreciate your time tonight. We started working on this project approximately 4 years ago with Randy, who's present here tonight. Questions that the audience or you might have regarding the operation of the facilities, I'd like you to direct that to Randy. Any questions that you might have on stormwater improvements, things that we're going to do for site improvement, you can direct that to Bob Mock and Mock 4 Engineering. And anything to do with design or building elements or materials, you could definitely address me on that. This is a current facility located at 3001 Riverside Drive. It's just south of the penitentiary. There's a couple different buildings on the site right now. There's actually three different buildings. Each one has a different specific use for patients that they are seeing now. At this point, the facility is full, and there's a waiting list. There's supply and demand out there that the demand is higher than what we have for supply on these type of dementia and Alzheimer's and facilities like that. So what we're proposing is there's three different buildings, so we're looking at two different phases. What we'd like to do this year is get started on phase one, which would include an approximate 2,900 square foot addition to the building on the east. Then we would also propose the north addition, which abuts the property line to the penitentiary. That would be about a 3,900 square foot addition. In order to do those two, we would ask to move it forward on the parking lot to the south, so we can make sure that traffic is out of the construction site. We can get the patients there, the visitors, and then the staff over to the south of the proposed west building. Now, the west building is slated to maybe happen next year, so we're looking at issuing all three to you guys tonight for open discussion. The facilities are existing. We met with staff. Some of the changes that they asked us to do was for improvements. We added masonry onto the future west building, which faces Riverside Drive. So that whole facade will be masonry. The rest of the buildings will match existing vinyl siding, three-dimensional roof shingles. So when you want to do an addition, you don't really want to make it look like that was an addition that happened. On the north building, we'll be adding a drop-off point for people to get dropped off the facility that are wheelchair-bound. That'll create a canopy underneath there so they can get in and out without going through the weather. There'll be some masonry highlights on that building, just in the colonnades and in the entrances by the vestibule for them to get in. If you take a look at these renderings that I brought, I guess we can just show it and then we'll put it back. This is sure. And I'll show the audience too. This is the existing building from here over. So this is the existing building from here over. This is the addition that would be going towards the east on the property line. So that is nestled between the existing east building and the north building. So it'll be put in between there. There's a gazebo there. So this is the one, the back of this was bought up for the penitentiary. The east building right now is an existing parking lot. And that east, this addition here, this is all existing from here to here. So it's existing from here to here. This is the addition, and that abuts a residential property now. And there right now, currently, is a parking lot there. So that would include that addition. Then on the west building, which is the one that faces Riverside, where you see this gable end over here, from here over is existing. So from here to here is existing. Here to here is existing. We'll be adding on that south end piece. Now the new parking lot we're talking about on the south lot would be where this future building is going next year. So that's when the buildings were originally built, there's inefficient parking right now. There's an issue with that. The lighting does not have cutoff fixtures for parking lot lights. So we'll be changing all that, upgrading that to the probably LED light fixtures now that the price is coming down on that. So we also included a light lumen schedule for you that's actually going to increase the lighting in the facility, but decrease the lighting to the existing property right now. Right now, none of the stormwater management is really being treated on site because it was originally built, but it wasn't inactive. We plan on tearing out all the existing asphalt, creating some stormwater, some catch basins in the parking lot to create all the runoff that we're creating, taking away some of the runoff, putting it into that, and Bob can explain a little bit more on how they plan on doing that. I know he's had quite a few conversations with the city engineer. In a nutshell, I guess that's what we're looking for today, and if you guys have questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Thank you. Any initial planning commission questions?
I can come back if you guys need.
Well, I can jump into questions, or does anyone else have questions?
What's the total number of units that we have? Just
in the north building right here, we're at 4 units up here in the north, and 5 units on the east side.
So would these additions include more jobs, bringing more people into work at the facility?
Yes.
Okay.
Upon completion, how many residents will there be in the buildings, in the total complex?
Right now, in the west building, when we're at capacity, we have 20 residents. We have 20 alternative and entry residents. The east facility right now has 16, so we'd like to up that to 20. And the north building, which is a physically disabled building, we have 12. So adding 4 will bring us up to 16 in that building.
And how many employees at one time?
Right now we have 64 employees.
How many are there at one time?
Buildings.
How many are there at one time, like on one shift?
This is going to be a guessing. Mm-hmm. The day shift has the most staff because of the office personnel there also. I'm going to say approximately 20 on the day shift. And then it cuts down a little on the PM shift, and then it's like probably about 16 on PM. Overnight, the overnight shift, we have 6 or 8 staff with the 3 buildings. Well, because we have, we have more than one person in the shift. You know what I'm saying? We have part-time people, we have part-time people, so, they're not working 7 days a week. So,
I guess you also mentioned the parking. Is the parking mostly for staff, or is it for visitors, or what is it? Or is it people coming in to work with some of the clients?
It's mainly staff and visitors. We do not have any residents in our facilities right now that are capable of driving, so there are no residents that actually have vehicles or have vehicles coming and going. So the majority of the parking is staff parking.
Maybe we could have Bob come over and talk a little bit about the improvements for the stormwater.
Sure, that would be.
Maybe that'll generate some more questions.
As Mark mentioned, my name is Bob Mock. I'm with Mock 4 Engineering and Survey. We have performed the existing condition site survey out there. We started this back in 2010 and then finished it up as they realized what their development plans had changed into. Now they're looking at the north and the east buildings as opposed to just doing something on the south lot. Like Mark mentioned, they will be performing this in a couple different phases. The first phase is doing the first two building additions, as well as redoing the existing pavement, storm sewer, and installing the preliminary stormwater management. From a stormwater management perspective here, in talking with Craig Berndt, this site is eligible to go into the regional pond. I think you call it the Heritage Hill Pond, just north and west of the site. So with that said, we don't have to address water quality on the site. We only have to address stormwater quantity. So we're going to use some of that depression area or possibly create a separate area in front of the existing building just for some on-site storage. Otherwise, we'll be discharging that and buying into the existing village system. So from a stormwater perspective, it's fairly easy. We have very deep storm sewer with all kinds of capacity in Riverside Drive. We are collecting all the roof runoff from the new buildings, as well as the parking lot drainage. The existing condition out there now, the pavement swales, drains onto the neighbor's lot, then through that south lot into the big culvert that goes underneath Riverside. We'll be cleaning that up so we're not discharging off of the property first. We will collect all that pavement in internal storm sewer, as well as collect the runoff from the neighboring lots that drain through this area. We will route that to the front of the property and provide our quantity storage, discharge that to the village storm sewer, which goes to the regional pond. The second phase of the project, which would be the, as they're referring to it, the west building on the south lot, that would happen next year, and that would be contingent upon receiving a permit from the DNR to do a little bit of fill and alteration of the existing wetland there. That low area of depression on that south lot, there are some delineated wetlands there. So everything in this first phase of the project would be avoided the wetlands, and the second phase would be contingent upon approval by the DNR, and we would minimize our impact there probably just to a couple thousand square feet. We did receive, when we first started looking at this project back in 2011, we received a permit from the DOT for that south driveway. That has since expired, since they did not begin construction. I think by the end of 2011 was the date on the permit, so we will have to get that permit renewed from the DOT. But other than that, it's fairly straightforward.
And we did check into that. Yes, there is a permit from 2010, 2-1-10. And I did talk to that person from the DOT, and they said basically you should request an extension of that because you're right, it technically expired, but a lot of work and effort was put into it back in 2010. So versus restarting over, work with the DOT and just request an extension.
Mm-hmm. Are there any retaining wall needs? It seems like there's a lot of sloping across the parcel.
There will be some retaining wall in... Do you have your site plan in front of you? Looking at the retaining wall basically along here, along that wetland where we have the grade differential, there will be the fence on top of that wall, so there's not.
What is the material of the wall? Do you know, is it going to?
We haven't got to that point of design yet. It's either, some of this will be up to Mark and his staff, but either block retaining wall or a masonry, a poured wall, concrete wall. Then,
The retaining wall will face into the site, not to the street?
Will face to the street.
Will face the street.
To that depression that's out in the front, that wetland area.
Maybe you should clarify where that retaining wall is, we can all see.
Sure. That retaining wall will be through this area, along the new parking lot.
Yeah.
And then there'll also be a little bit of maybe 2 foot high wall right as we go through that depression.
And is this where the site currently drains to neighboring properties?
Yeah, this, looking at the existing conditions, a lot of this, these roofs drain around here. This drains off through here, kind of cuts the corner through this property and then to the storm sewer here. In the future, this will all be collected internally. We'll provide a drain to accept the water that's still coming off the backyards here and let that through our system.
And what is the schedule for completing stormwater management plans? Have you got them in place in some way? Because they're not in this, these materials.
No, and we had spoke to Craig about that, and he was looking for just conceptual plans at this point until basically until we got the approval from Planning Commission. He wasn't terribly concerned because we are eligible to go into that regional pond. Mm-hmm. At this point, to do the stormwater plans, it's fairly simple. We just have to do the routing calculations, size and orifice, do a manhole detail. It's not like we're constructing an elaborate biofilter system or anything like that. It's purely quantity storage.
So in the south parcel, there's no construction in there currently?
Correct. And in this phase of construction, in there would be the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And that would likely be the first thing that you would see happening because they need to get that constructed so they have some place for their employees to park as they're displaced by the rest of the construction.
How are you meeting zoning requirements for parking? I mean, what? Since the residents don't have cars, that's what I understand from.
Right.
So,
right.
Is it just for employee parking and visitor parking? Some percentage there. So, I'm just concerned.
We have, and that was part of. Randy can speak to this operationally. Part of this bigger plan is to get that parking in place mm-hmm. to satisfy that because right now they seem pinched. This project will result in a net addition of 26 stalls.
Okay.
And how many staff will be added per shift, Randy?
With the three buildings, with the rest of it, I don't know.
The entire project?
Right. We're looking at seven additional staff. On the day shift.
Mm-hmm.
And we're adding five on the PM shift. And it would be an additional two on the day shift.
We're adding 26 additional stalls.
Okay. And what percentage of those is for visitors?
Well, it's a mix. There is many designated parking right now for employees versus visitors. Right now we have ample parking, full staff, and visitors. Unless we have a staff meeting and we have the entire staff coming into a meeting, then we're pretty crowded right now. We probably would need an additional 10 stalls, I would say. But our staff meetings happen once a month. And our north building typically stages their staff meetings from the east and the west building. So the only time that there's really a problem is when all two buildings are having a staff meeting at the same time.
What's the existing building that's being taken out? What's that?
Is that
to
be replaced?
It's a
storage garage. We're adding a storage room inside the facility on the north building.
And also from the
is the parking lot curb and gutter, or is it just asphalt? edge?
There will be some curb and gutter or fitting sidewalk between the central building and the north building. There'll be some perimeter curb and gutter where we're up next to the property lines and we have grade differentials. And then there'll be some thickened edge along the thickened edge sidewalk along the west building if that happens.
I had a question about the parking capacity. Maybe I misunderstood some of the numbers, but it sounds like you're putting in more parking capability than you need. If you currently are adequately, if you have enough spaces currently, and you're only adding a dozen or so employees, most of which won't be there at the same time, you know, because of the shifts. This looks like there's more work being done to take away green space and put asphalt down than is necessary.
Well, if we're adding 7 employees with shift changes and such, we'll need an additional 14 stalls. So if our net gain is 23 or 26, that gives us an extra 9 for employees or visitors. So it's not, I don't think there's a lot of extraneous parking here.
I just wonder about the number of visitors that you have. I don't know how your facility compares to an assisted living facility or a short-term rehab situation where there are a lot of family members that come and visit routinely. I'm going to visit my mother-in-law tomorrow, assisted living. So I drive by there frequently because I live a few blocks from there. I don't see the gate open and cars coming and going too often. Do you have very many visitors during the day for the residents, for your residents?
We do, but not an excessive amount. You have to realize that too, that we're using that parking on the south end of the east building.
Okay.
I'm not sure how many stalls are there, but we're losing all of those stalls. But back to your question, right, on any given day, we have a few more visitors on the weekend than we do during the week. But I would say probably on an average day, we probably have 5 or 6 visitors throughout the day.
Yeah. Holidays probably more. Different. Probably more for holidays. And
right.
Mm-hmm. Another quick question about the existing drive. Is that going to be continued? Are you going to continue to use that through the construction and afterwards, or is the permanent entrance going to be the proposed drive on your plan?
So we'll be continuing to use both.
Keep using both. Okay.
And both will be gated.
Both will be gated.
Both will be gated the same. Thank you.
I'm just curious about something about operations. If you don't mind me asking, because sure. It may not contain that they do this just by every year. You said you're adding 7 new positions. And that means 14 new stalls because these positions may not be full time or?
No. 7 stalls or 7 positions would require 14 stalls because shift A has to still be there while shift B is showing up until shift B.
So that's your transition?
Yes, okay. Just for the transition time.
Okay.
It's just. Village staff had also put together some notes from the conversation with the project team, and these are dated from August 8th, and I just want to enter these in for the record and for the benefit of everyone else hearing what has been discussed. There's a letter from the fire department on August 8th, and it basically talked about requiring the FTC and the standpipe connections. They also talked about the Knox box brand lock box on the first building entrance. And then CO detectors will be required to be hardwired into the facility per Wisconsin statutes. So those were the comments of the fire department. They had no other concerns about access to any of the buildings.
Yeah, so they were, we talked about the gate, and the gate, once you drive up to it, automatically opens. So that was one of the things that we talked about. But they didn't have any other concerns with the facility.
Okay. And then we already talked about the second driveway off of Riverside, and how the project team should contact DOT to talk about an extension for that. We've talked about the building materials, and vinyl siding is approved, but it must match what's existing already. We talked about the building facing Riverside Drive being brick, no vinyl siding allowed in the west-facing building sections. Has there been any progress on a landscaping plan? Oh, is that in? Then has that been reviewed by Brad?
We left a message for Mark today, actually. The plan that we have is very difficult to read. I don't know if yours are difficult. So we asked for something that's more readable for Brad to look at. So any approval tonight would be contingent on our forester taking a look at that as well. Should be.
Okay. Thank you. We also, there's a comment about lighting plan needed, including placement of fixture type of the full height, wattage, and coverage.
That's included.
And that's, now has that been reviewed by the building inspector at all?
It has not. It'll have to go to him as well.
And that'll be pending. Okay, so.
Yeah. And it does look like there's some light spill over onto adjacent residential property. So the building inspector will look at that.
We're down our designated note taker tonight, so we got to write a few more notes than we usually have to.
Do you guys know what height the poles are at for your lighting yet? Your parking lighting?
Which one's shown as 25 feet? It says 25-foot pole. The
is there any pedestrian activity on the site other than people walking from their cars to the building and vice versa?
That's basically it.
So residents don't go outside of the buildings at all?
The Alzheimer's Dementia, very seldom go outside.
Mm-hmm.
The west building, the way the building was originally built, is actually there's a green space inside the building. There's actually a gazebo outside, but still inside the building. I know there's an angle on it. It's a square building. Occasionally they will go out, but you know, very seldom. Our facility, the Alzheimer's Dementia Society, we have more of the advanced Alzheimer's and dementia. So a lot of the official building around right now, they're advertising Alzheimer's dementia. They're taking the more beginning stages to mid to moderate stage, where we are in the more advanced stage. And most of them are wheelchair residents, and they just, you know, they aren't real high functioning. Our north building that is physically disabled, that building is totally physically disabled. And we do have some younger residents there that go to the CP Center. Some of them are CP. We have some that are quadriplegic or paraplegic from car accidents. You'll see them occasionally. They do come outside, and they all have a motorized wheelchair. So they will, you know, ride up and down the parking lot in their motorized wheelchair. Occasionally, we'll have a physically disabled individual that does go out into the neighborhood. I believe right now we don't, but in the past we have had that.
Is there any access to the neighborhood from the site?
Yes, there is. It would be on the east end of the site, the south parking lot, on the east building. There is a 5-foot gate there, and there is access with a sidewalk out to the street.
Okay.
And the plan would be to keep that gate in after. Okay, so that would. So there's moving on with the staff comments. A parking plan showing handicap parking spaces. No new spaces must meet current code size requirements.
Yeah.
And Tracy, has that been, have you seen any updates on that?
The current plan does show the handicap spots, and I'm assuming that they are the required size, because we talked about that at our meeting.
Which is 10 by 20?
Right.
Okay, we have a drawing that's showing a 9-foot typical parking stall size for width.
9 by 20 is close. I think 8 actually is a parking stall if it's car, but a van parking stall can be.
In Alloway, isn't it 10? 10 by 20.
I'll make sure that those are 10 by 20, but ADA is actually 8 foot with an 8 foot.
Access. Then lighted sidewalk required on the driveway leading to the new south parking area.
That is going to be a sidewalk that runs from the south parking lot to the east side of the existing west building. With the added lighting, we do not have lighting in that area to begin with on the sidewalk, and we requested it for pedestrian safety.
Okay. And then, as far as Public Works Department comments, we've talked about the preliminary stormwater concept plan must be completed and submitted for review, and the erosion control plan must be submitted as part of the stormwater management plan. So that was the staff comments.
And as far as the stormwater, I know I talked to Craig, our Public Works Director, today, and he does have the plan, and he just has not had a chance to finish his final review of it. So, as we have in the past, I'd recommend that if you go ahead with approval, to have that contingent on final approval by Public Works Director for the stormwater. And Bob, I just have one question as well on stormwater. Your plan will include, obviously, the whole site then?
Yes. Our stormwater plan will. We'll be under the assumption that yes, it's full build out, and that the west building expansion happens as well next year or whenever. But
okay.
It will address everything.
Okay, great.
I had a few questions.
Sure.
Mechanical units, will they all be ground mounted? And do you know the locations of those?
All the furnaces are residential type, so all the furnaces are inside. As far as the air conditioning units, right now the rooms are not air conditioned. There's an air conditioned hallway, and it's open that way. Whatever air conditioning units we have, we will put them so they're not facing any of the parking lots nor the streets, and we'll definitely landscape them to
screen
the units.
Okay.
But there's not going to be that many added. There'll probably be maybe a total of 5 units that will be added. Maybe 3 of them will have an AC unit that accompanies them.
I mean, condensers outside.
Yes.
Well, they'll be on the ground. Yeah, there'll be nothing on the roofs.
So would the landscaping plan have to be updated in the future whenever those units are placed?
Yes.
Okay.
And what type of fence is being proposed along that south property line where it's adjacent to the residential area? Would it be similar to the other fencing that's the steep roof?
No, there's not.
There's some chain link and I think some neighbors would fence.
Yeah, you came down the property line, went down 8 feet on my property, stopped, and flooded it up right against my fence.
Okay, yeah. So there is not solid screening right now between the residential area and this new area. Is that being proposed, or are you using the similar type of fencing where it's the open?
Well, most of the fence that is decorative is a decorative wrought iron, except for by the residential.
Okay.
So I mean, if we have to put plastic slats in there, whatever you guys think is necessary, or a landscape buffer.
Okay. I was looking through the ordinance, and for a high-density district that abuts a residential district, we do require 6 feet wide landscaped area extending the full length with one tree for every 35 lineal feet where it abuts a single-family district, and then a shrub, border, hedge, wall, fence, earthen berm, or other durable landscape area or combination at least 6 foot high, but not to exceed 8 feet high. So in that area that's against the the east property line, there's about, I think, a 3-foot area that's landscaped. And I'm looking at the code, it looks like it needs to be 6 feet at a minimum. And that was, I'm looking at section 11.29, parent 10 in the ordinance. Page 11-102 at the bottom, would that landscape area need to be increased in width? And then it shows that there are some arborvitae and grasses in that area, but it gets really specific in the ordinance as far as what's required for trees.
Yes, because it's a high-density district is what the zoning is, and it does abut a residential. So there is a buffer requirement, at least 6 feet wide. It can be a shrub, border, fence, earthen berm, anything that you just said. And we did add in after the church project down on Libel, if you remember, Barb, I don't know if you were involved in that one. If you look at C, there is an appeal for a buffer, because in that particular site, the residents did not want a full 6-foot buffer. They wanted to be able to go back and forth between, and they did not want any kind of a obstruction between them and the development of and that church. So there is an appeal or a waiver that can be asked for by the village board, and that was added at that time. But yes, otherwise there is a requirement of a buffer on the areas abutting the residential.
Because to the area to the south, the way that the parking lot's oriented, the headlights would be shining into the residences if there wasn't a solid screening. Either a solid fence or densely planted shrubs or something. Right.
Probably be easiest to accomplish that with a board-on-board cedar fence or something.
That way
the residents aren't opposed to it.
That way it takes care of it 12 months out of the year.
Right.
Through that area, there is overhead power, so it's going to be difficult to do the canopy trees.
Okay.
But yeah, probably the board-on-board fence would be the best way to accomplish that screening.
Any other planning commission questions?
I just had a question on coverage of the lot. I was looking at two different sections in the ordinance. One was saying that it should not exceed 50% of the total area. That was 11.07C, parent 4, under the high-density district. And then the 11.29, it spoke about a minimum of 20% open space. So I don't know if which one would apply. I think they're at 21% green space on this project.
I would have to defer to the building inspector on that one to see, but I know I'm not sure what the green space requirement was when we had that. I think 20%, but I'm not positive on that, so we can double check that as well.
Okay.
Any other planning commission comments? I know, Tracy, there was a question about, because there's a number of parcels, what the zoning was. Is this all high density?
Yes.
Even the additions to the south?
Yes.
Would it be appropriate to ask for a retracement survey so it's just one parcel instead of other, like four separate parcels?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
A combination, actually.
Okay.
If there aren't any additional planning commission members, we will open it up to the audience, but I guess there is a few items that we will have to talk about after that. For example, we talked about the retaining wall. Do we want to have aesthetics, or just rather than, especially since it faces Riverside, we should have that discussion. I think we had a few other ones, too, that we have some follow-up action that we should talk about. But for now, if there's no additional plan commission or staff comments, would anyone from the public, any residents, care to speak? I guess we'd ask one at a time, please come up to the microphone so it's recorded and state your name and address. And you can be for it, against it, whatever concerns.
My name is Rob Watkins. I live at 450 Tad Street. I have several concerns about the proposal. Number one would probably be the wetlands back there, how they're going to fill it. Right now, you can't cut it down there once or twice a month, or once or twice a summer, because there's so much water down there. You can't get a tractor down there or a lawnmower. And with the proposal of putting the fence on the south side, a cedar fence, who's going to maintain that fence? In 2-3 years, with snow removal, it's going to be falling down, and who's going to be responsible for maintaining the fence? And who do we go to complain about when it is, when it is maintained? And that's about it. Also, was the garbage there on our side?
Yeah,
the dumpsters are up on the south side, backing up to our property. 5 o'clock in the morning or 5:30, whenever, it would be quite objectionable to have them be pulling into empty dumpsters. So if those can be moved.
Do you know the time of pickup? Usually, is it usually
anywhere from 5 in the morning till like midnight? Sometimes they come banging in there. Usually, it's somewhere about 5:15 to 7 o'clock in the morning that they're shaking and booming. Yeah. And I mean, you know, I don't know if they don't have enough bins that they have to call in waste management to come in there and do it, that all the odd hours or what goes on there, but
it's never during the day.
No, yeah, I've heard them during the day, like
on the morning.
More, it's all over the board.
How often is the trash picked up? Do you know?
Well, we have 3 bins there. You know, 2 recycling, 1 is cardboard, 1 is mixed, and the other 1 is garbage. You know, so there are once a week they pick up recyclables, twice a week they pick up the rubbish. The rubbish is usually picked up sometime during the day. The recyclables, right, could be literally whatever the same to be honest, I don't know anything. But I think that's something, you know, if that is a concern, that we can talk to the removal company, and, you know, they can probably come during the middle of the day. It doesn't matter.
We do also have village ordinance that they cannot come that early, and waste management, we've had an issue with them at another site coming at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I believe it's 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. is the earliest technically that they can pick up garbage or dumpsters. So if you're having a problem with them, please let us know and we can get in touch with them, because we've had other issues at other sites if it needed is waste management, so we can get in touch with them.
Tracy, who is that? Is that the building inspector specifically?
Code enforcement officer.
Code enforcement officer.
Mark, we take care of that. Like I said, we've had an issue. Is it waste management that you contract with?
No.
Veolia, okay. So Veolia, we can certainly get in touch with them and let them know that they cannot pick up that early. So.
What type of enclosure materials are you looking at for the dumpsters?
It would be a masonry block.
So I would think that would help.
With this block and capsule on it.
Okay, so that might help with the sound as opposed to something more flimsy?
No.
You don't think so? No? Okay.
And I think it's a reasonable request to have such an enclosure not placed adjacent to other properties.
And also in the fence back there, I have a 4-foot fence back there now that I put in years ago, and when they put a fence in, what happens to mine when they put theirs 6 inches away from mine? What happens to the fence that he put up that goes from the end of my property 8 feet into my property and along the back of my property?
Well, Tracy, isn't there a way to, for the adjacent property owners to work together to come up with a design for a fence that's acceptable to all parties.
Yeah, I mean, it's silly, like you said, to have one fence and then putting another fence. So if you would like to work with the property owner and see if you guys can come up jointly, and if you wanted to put something in together or that would take care of both, then rather than having two fences, you could certainly do that.
If he wants to put a fence back there, I mean, there's written on mine, put the 1 foot or 6 foot fence back there.
That is something that I would suggest you discuss with the property owner, who this is John Lynn sitting right there.
Right, and that would be no problem.
Yeah, we want, you know, work with the residents, and, you know, some residents don't like fence, some would like fence, some, you know, so we like to have the property owner talk to the residents and say what would kind of be your preference and see what we can come up with to make it amenable to both if we can.
And one other thing is the runoff or the drainage, and what happens when if there's, you know, a change in the water flow where it starts coming into my property and affecting my basement. I've been there 30 years and no water. The only water I have is from the city, and the city pays for that.
Well, I'll let you handle that. You can have the easy questions.
As far as stormwater, as a public works director will be reviewing their plan for the site. If there are issues, they cannot have their water go on to other property, just like you can't have your water go on to other property. So they're charged with taking and capturing their water and taking care of it the way they should. If there are issues, you will be calling us and we will be working through that. But with their plan, they have designed it that they have more storm sewer on the property, and it will be moved to the storm sewer and then moved off the site. So it'll be better, I would assume, than what it is right now. Because do you have any storm sewer on the property right now, I guess?
No, other than the daylight culvert, there's no storm sewer out there.
But well, the only thing that blocks up to our property now is the open field, the swim back there.
Right.
And when that gets filled in, what does it change?
Right. When we do our final design on this, it will be set up so that anyone off your backyard is basically going to either come onto the parking lot or be directed along the backside that collected and still run it to that same location. But we'll take care of that on this property. Anything that's coming there now will continue to come there. We will accommodate it.
Even with filling in the area?
Yes. Basically, the storm sewer that we're putting in is taking all that water, running it around underground through that parking lot, and then discharging it right back to that culvert. So it's still going in the same spot, just getting there a little bit differently. One thing we're kind of blessed with on this site is all kinds of vertical relief. We have from the top end, we have like 12 feet of depth to our storm sewer, which is great. It'll be easy to do this one. And then as far as filling that wetland, like I said, that's contingent upon receiving a permit from the DNR. But after the storm sewer is put in, that water that flows through the backyards won't be going to there anymore. So it's all the DNR. Okay. Anybody else?
My name is Paul Aspidor. I live at 420 Coolidge Street. I abut the east side of the property. I had some concerns in the way that the town didn't live up to all their promises when the original units were put in. John Modford and I got together, and he was going to put up a earth berm, landscaping, and a fence. And what I basically got was they had a higher grade. They just increased their grade. There was no berm. And it wound up being that I got a fence with some vines that probably took 10 years to grow. And luckily, I bought some property from John so I could make my own screening. So that worked out. My concern is, for these people, is the garbage dumpsters, because right now they're just... It's just open season when they come, and then they're not screened at all. I have a neighbor who's on Link Court, and the blacktop comes right up to the edge of his property with a fence. That's the lot that's going to get torn out when this addition comes in. I have concerns for him, but I also have a concern of where's the water going to go when Coolidge Street, which quite often happens because we're at the bottom of a hill, floods over and goes into their parking lot now, and there's going to be a building there. I would like that addressed. Because once in a blue moon, we'll have such a storm that it'll clean all the pine needles and pine cones right out of their trees that they put up to screen the end of the street. So there's a water problem there that happens, and it floods. You know, when we have a gully washer, there's a reason that there's a gully there. I've lived there all my life. I've lived in this house all my life, and I've seen, and I used to mow down in that valley. And I know you can only touch it maybe once or twice a year. You know, you can get a root down in there to cut. So it's always wet. So I'm interested to see how they'll, get the DNR to approve that they can just fill this thing in. But, you know, they probably can, but they need a lot of drainage here because water comes from all over. I mean, I have a water problem now, but I don't care because it kind of just sits in a valley and then it gradually trickles out somewhere. But, you know, I just know that I got screwed on a landscaping deal last time. I got an earth berm and a little lake with it, so. But, I hope it works out. Oh, and they are good neighbors.
It looks like there is a catch basin proposed for that area to pick up that extra water that he's talking about.
Yes. That gully that comes from east to west down the extension of the road, if that does overtop, we will have a pipe daylighted into that property to accept that runoff through our storm sewer system. So there still will be secondary routing provided south of the building addition, kind of same path that goes now, but instead of going through that wetland area, it'll go into the pipe around the building and then back to that same storm sewer.
Tracy, as part of the village engineer's analysis, I mean, I know that he's looking at this site, but if, like, there's the concerns about the water on Coolidge, and it makes sense, I live farther up the hill, and so water has to go somewhere, so it goes down the hill. Is that analysis looked at, or are they just looking at this development only?
You know, I'm not sure. I'll bring that up with Craig when he does look at it, and if he looks into that area as well. I would assume he does, but I don't know for a fact.
Is there any other public comments? Again? Sure, come on up. You don't have to say your name this time.
I've got one more for you. The parking lot, just looking on the plans, they have that butted right up to our properties, it looks like. Is there going to be a 6-foot relief from the parking lot to the start of the parking lot?
Well, on the south border, it looks like it's 6 feet plus a little bit, but then on the east side, it looks like they've only got about 3 feet from pavement edge to
property line. So I haven't seen the landscape plan, so there is going to be a 6-foot buffer between our property to the south and the start of the property.
There's a 6-foot buffer here. This is the south side.
They don't have that on there.
Okay. And this, I think this came in later. And then this one's a little small, and that's the one that I was asking about if that was going to be increased. Mm. And she was checking on that.
That one should definitely be increased.
What about this? This is only 3 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was asking. I'm thinking it has to be 6 with that pole. 6 feet wide buffer.
So that's a question. If it doesn't meet that 6 feet buffer, is there any way that can be adjusted to meet that?
On the east property line?
Correct.
Well, we did have a 6-foot buffer, but then we were required to put a 5-foot sidewalk in.
So there goes your buffer.
Well. But if you've got your sidewalk several feet. Your sidewalk could be closer to the buildings, couldn't it?
3 feet, then they get the buffer.
Now, you have to get this trash dumpster, you have to get trash from all of the buildings down here? Right. So, is this really the best location for the facility, or might there be another? I'm sorry? I don't, yeah.
Is it Martha? Is it Julia?
Well, you know, we have looked at possibly moving the dumpster to where they're located now, but we'd be moving parking stalls if we did, in order to make a clean shot for the other truck to be in.
Where are they now? They're not shown on the existing plan.
Are they in that garage building?
No.
Right now, they're just open containers and there's something here. So they're open containers right now and they're sitting right here.
What's the size on that enclosure? What's needed?
Typically, we do for three bins, it'll be 16 foot deep by 20 foot wide. So we'll be able to get all three bins in there at one time.
What do you think about putting it somewhere like here, where it's more centrally located?
Yeah, I think it makes more sense to do something like that.
The existing parking lot now has lights on 24 hours or at night. Our bedroom faces the back, which would be the new parking lot. Will that new parking lot have lights on 24/7?
Can you also say your name and your address? Thank you.
I guess the answer to that would be yes, but the difference is now is with the lights that they have now, they're not cutoff fixtures. So that the lights that are there now are allowing a lot of light to illuminate into your yard. The new fixtures have shrouds on them that direct the light down. So right now you might be getting maybe 10 lumens per foot. With the new lights, it'll be reduced down to a half candle. So it'll be an improvement, but they'll still be on. Because right now those are not cut-off fixtures.
I guess if there's... We'll do a last call for public comments and then we'll take it back to me. Okay.
My name is Angelique and I live at 3001 Link Court. And the only, my concern is that this big business is going to bring the property value down and all the houses around it. And they pretty much right across from Kitty Clinton parking lot on the back side. And that is my concern. Because eventually I want to sell my house, and it's already going, you know, the way the house market is, it's bad already the way it is. And I think bringing a business like this is going to, you know, definitely bring it down. So that's my only concern.
Yes, is there any other comments? Otherwise, we'll say we will close the comment period and we'll go back to the formal meeting. Tracy, is there any comments you have?
I just have one question for the last woman that spoke. Can you give us your last name as well, ma'am?
You go D-D-R-D-R-O-O-D.
Thank you.
So we have a number of comments, and some we'll deal with and some we'll probably just identify and let the staff follow up as appropriate. I guess the one, I understand that it's a challenge with the garbage bin. I mean, it's a challenge from the property owner. Where do you have access that it meets the needs of all three buildings? Where do you put it so it doesn't impede or have impact on the neighbors next door? How do you get access for the vehicles into the property? And yes.
Maybe something like in that area?
It could be Mark or somebody, whoever's appropriate. And this doesn't have to be, this is really, I don't know, Tracy, is that a plan commission? I guess we can give a recommendation. It's up to the village board.
Yep, you can certainly, that's definitely a plan commission.
then it would be a way, like it, right now it's still here,
yeah,
to get it away from the residences.
Truck that way.
Okay.
But here's a thought that we were just thinking, maybe we could put it right here. So then the truck can pass straight in.
And then it would not be against any residential properties. So.
It'd be right in front of the facility, but...
In a really nice looking enclosure.
Yeah. Where are we talking?
I was going to say, right here, it's here right now. Right. So, if we did this, a truck would not be able to access it.
Right.
They can't make that turn
right
to get in.
That's fair.
That. So, the only really other place that even makes semi sense, because the fire department did not want it over
right
here.
That
they
makes
want
sense.
That access for that.
Mm-hmm.
The only other place.
There'd be a lot of
would be here. Maybe it would fit there because you got to remember I do have a porta call here, so these vans are picking these guys up in wheelchairs so they get in and out. Could it work here? It probably could.
So it could be looked at.
I think the neighbors would be happy.
Yes.
Anything to move away, any type of activity and stuff away from the center. Clearly, people get used to having green space behind them. That's a different thing.
Sure, that's fair. Mark, would you be willing to show what we're looking at up on the... Sure, that's fair. Take a minute.
I don't
They usually don't get to my house until 7.
Oh, okay.
But they say that you're supposed to get your cards out by 6.
That's right. No, 6:30 quite often at my house.
Somehow.
Okay, that's... So it's a concern... Well, and we don't have to solve it. We make a recommendation to the board. So we can make a recommendation, and we're not to that point yet. But we will, and then we encourage both parties or all parties to go to the village board meeting, and they're the elected officials. They'll make their determination. So with that...
But is there handicap ramp? That's the main reason for the...
It's a constrained environment and you can't get everything, but it's...
I also want to reiterate working with the village, with the companies to make sure they at least put two pickups in the time spans they're allowed to, no matter how this goes. With the dumpster.
Yeah, if you can just let us know, you guys, because we will send our code enforcement officer out there, and we'll talk to them about, they cannot be picking up that early.
So when we hear it, we call you?
Yeah, just call us, let us know, and we will address it with them, and then they should set, because we had the same problem with another site here,
okay,
and we addressed it with them. They were good for over a year, and now we just had an issue again with them recently, so when we do address it with them, they're good about not going there. If they're not getting calls, they're going to keep doing it. You know what I mean? Because they figure no one cares, and they're just going to keep sneaking in there early if they can, because they have lots of the best potential.
Tracy, could you not be proactive and make a phone call now before
we... Absolutely. Yeah, we could. Yeah, I mean, if it's Veolia, we can certainly call them and let them know that they need to go with them.
Thank you.
So we'll do that.
So now, Plan Commission, time to... We have a few things to talk about, and then someone will make a motion that will be very long because we've had a lot of points and discussion and comment. I want to thank the project team for your presentations and taking a lot of questions, and I want to thank the residents for all your comments also. So where would we like to start, Plan Commission?
Well,
What other areas do we need further discussion on?
I feel like that setback along the east side is kind of hanging out there. Whether we're going to require 6 feet or if maybe there needs to be a variance or something.
I think that's kind of important, too. I don't know if there was any result from the discussion other than, it should be 6 and it's only 3. So what? I mean, so how do we react to that in terms of proposing that it be changed?
Bob, did you think you could get another 3 feet there by moving that sidewalk closer to the building?
As we move that sidewalk closer to the building, it's a little trickier.
Maybe do a 4-foot sidewalk and do a 4-foot sidewalk.
Maybe you can do a 4-foot sidewalk and you do another thing you can maybe have it kind of instead of having a raised edge there, maybe have a sidewalk in the pavement flush, maybe just striking right on the pavement and the asphalt. Something functionality.
Do you need 12 feet of driving pavement width?
Yeah,
that's the minimum that the fire department would have.
Is that for making the turn or actually?
Usually it's 15 feet.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they're only getting 11 foot lanes on Riverside Drive. So.
We can get 3.1 now. We probably can get it up to 5.
And then do some denser plantings? Or I know that the ordinance says trees, but possibly the neighbors would rather have a dense shrub?
Yeah,
maybe?
There already are overhead canopy trees there.
Okay.
Well, maybe they'd want some type of fence. Right now there's a cyclone fence. They need to sell it to something else.
Solid.
They might want something like that, 6 foot.
Continue to board on board, and that's what
you guys agreed to.
We do have a problem with neighbors. We do have a lot of 41 going out to the applicant, and after 5 years, they're a mess. And there's no problem, no removal, no removal. And they just fall apart and go with the neighbors.
Yeah, where are you guys going to follow the snow?
Yeah, that's
all going to get hauled off. You can do that right now. Yeah.
Okay, let's stick to the Planning Commission discussion.
To the, I think we can probably get 5 feet through there.
So, Tracy, would they need a variance from the board?
Well, they're saying that the setback requirement is met at 20 feet, right?
Excuse me?
You already have on here that your setback requirement is 20 feet, but that's to building line.
That's building.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, but the buffer is another issue, separate issue. I think we could accept the good faith effort to increase the buffer and 5 feet. Would seem to be reasonable. It's a common buffer for parking lots in many cities. It's 5 feet. So.
And then work with the neighbors to see what they would like for the buffer.
Yeah, I was going to say that brings up that second issue, fencing and buffers. I think that goes along with that south side too.
I guess the question, how many neighbors that abut this facility are not here? I mean, we have some here, but is this, are we half? Are we, what kind of?
We probably have half.
Yeah.
Okay.
From, where are the ones that?
I
pass that aerial photo around and find out where everybody lives. And find out who's missing.
There's still one down there. Where's the aerial photo down there?
Oh. I didn't know we had it.
Well, we could, or we could just. Tracy, is it, we could have on the aerial photo, we could have the neighbors that are here now kind of write what properties they are so we know who we're missing.
I went on the G at the Brown County GIS website and printed it. I should have printed more. I just printed one. Just to see proximity to the house and what the world is.
Correct.
Right. Most of them have detached garages.
We can, your motion can have that.
There's an aerial photo right there that shows the houses.
Should we just encourage
them to work together?
The developer to work with. Correct. Okay, then let us continue on.
Just to see if the people that are most affected are here tonight.
That's okay. Yeah. All right, should we continue on? So we will leave it at, we will try and reach the 5 feet as the buffer, and then we would encourage the developer to work with the neighbors. And but that's just one discussion point. What else do we have?
Well, reposition the trash dumpster. And I don't know if there's a zoning requirement that restricts its location on the site, but to be honest with you, it seems like the front yard is really where the site abuts the neighboring properties rather than Riverside Drive. So I would almost rather see the dumpster on the west side of the property in some way. So
you'd rather have it along the highway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's enclosed. I mean,
inside the fence or outside the fence?
Oh, it should be inside the fence. Just on the west side of the buildings. It could be to the west of that north building, for example.
Yes, it might be difficult to access, but
well, if it's deep enough, then they can. There could be, you know, an area to back in for it. Or depends on the type of truck. If the truck is front loading.
So I guess for now we'll just leave it. I mean,
it just should not be against an adjacent property.
But they may not have options. So I guess we can just say if it's feasible for the trash dumpsters to move it, but it sounds like you might have too many constraints and you might not be able to do it. We can just make that recommendation to the board and then they can decide it's a big deal and they want to do something about it or not do something about it. What else?
That retaining wall along the future stormwater area should be some kind of a decorative aesthetic material rather than just a cast-in-place concrete wall, I think.
Now, would it make sense to have some sort of aesthetics that goes with the building, or do we want it? Yeah, it should be some sort of coordination. We're talking about the retaining wall and
landscape block. If you guys see the residential, we're going to do that. You're not going to match the brick, but you can get a can or something.
It's not going to be an eyesore that you're going to say, "Whoa, what is that?" So. I think that's important because, as we talked about, especially with the reconstruct level project plans for Riverside, I mean, there's going to be, potentially there may be sidewalk or people biking along the corridor, so if it's facing out, we'd want it to look decent.
Okay.
What else do we...
It isn't clear to me that there's a paved surface that connects to the neighborhood street network. And I would think that that should be a requirement we're seeking, so that if someone...
There's an existing one that's set off. Is that going to be maintained, right? There's an existing one there, then you'll see a new sidewalk that runs to the south of the east building. That goes along the building next to it.
Where?
It's a, right now there's that sidewalk here. Is this staying there that goes out to the street?
Yes.
Okay.
We're coming around here.
And where is that on the site plan?
That is right here.
Okay, so it's here, but how does it get to the, where is the?
It's, the connection's already there. It's right here. So we're coming around here.
So is that okay. off the so this property yes, then?
Then it just needs to be documented. So that
yeah, we're stopped at the property line. This comes right in.
So
okay.
And that's a paved surface
it's
or is
a,
it gravel?
It's a concrete.
It's concrete.
Tracy, do you know, is that
not sure what's on the back
put in by the village or is that a
the big
private?
Issue is we're taking everybody else's stormwater right now. So
well, that's what the touch basin is for then, right?
Correct.
Yeah, it's all going to come down the street.
Yes.
And keep the section.
So we're taking care of this. We're taking care of this.
Yeah.
Everything's going
here. I'm just looking for some kind of pedestrian linkage. Right now you have no pedestrian access to the site other than that, so that somehow has to be preserved.
What else do we have, Planning Commission?
Recommend staff review and approval of ground mount mechanical unit screening.
And we also heard pending staff comment for the landscape plan, the drainage plan, and the building inspector would also check the spillover of the lights.
Mm-hmm. And the green space requirement, Tracy? Okay.
Is there anything else from our vast discussions that
well,
we...
the issue of the fence that the property owners, adjoining property owners should agree on a
buffer.
Method to fence the perimeter of the property. And it should be a fence of consistent appearance and construction.
Okay.
Well, that would come down to an agreement between the property
right,
owners.
As far as the fence length is an issue with that.
Just as long as something consistent is done that meets everybody's happy with.
Well, Roger, that's the key. We're trying to take, I mean, there's development and
right.
then there's
so.
The neighbors and we understand sometimes there's a conflict and we're trying to reach as much consensus as we can and some things it's not the village's business, it comes down to property owners working together. So
well, I mean, you know, it do we have a requirement that there should be a barrier, right?
Correct.
So I mean that's the requirement that we're obligated to adhere to. I think we're just allowing an accommodation so that the neighbors get what they want for, you know, visual separation between the properties. So
the wording that you noted regarding the proposed dumpster relocation. I don't know if I heard exactly if you were going to say we'd urge them to try and find another location, or are we going to make a condition of our proposal or our request that a new site be found, or?
I think our recommendation should be that the dumpster enclosure be relocated so it is not adjacent to another property.
Yeah, and I concur with that. That's what I wanted to see if I heard when you were saying what you were writing down.
I left it optional right now, but if that's a preference.
I would agree that it should not be optional, that it should be what Roger said.
So your comment before was that the garbage dumpster relocated so it is not adjacent to another property.
Residential property.
Yeah, to a residential property, right. So.
Chris, would we include the combination survey to combine them, or that's just a given?
That's a question for Tracy. Barb was asking, should we be pushing for the combination of the parcels? I mean, that's not necessarily a condition that's up to the property owner, I would.
Yeah. Well, we plan on doing that.
Should we could include it in our recommendation if you're okay with that? Okay. And I guess one other comment I have based on the looking at the landscaping plan, depending on what happens with Riverside Drive, if sidewalk is put on, depending on which side, if it's put on the east side of Riverside, depending on where that be placed, I'm assuming there may be some sort of a terrace area between the sidewalk and Riverside. Would some of those trees possibly have to be moved? And is that something Brad would look at when he reviews the landscape plan, Tracy?
Yes, Brad would definitely look at it, but the problem right now is we don't know exactly what's going to happen with Riverside. So what we did, remember when we did HME mm-hmm. site, we kind of pulled back off of Riverside because we don't want them to be putting a bunch of trees and things in, and all of a sudden, 3 years later, they are taken out or ripped out because of the reconstruction of the road. So I would think with this, we would want to keep them off of Riverside a bit, just in anticipation that we don't know exactly what's going to happen there. And, you know, in their plan, they really don't have much along Riverside. It's pretty much backed off in the plan that they do have, if you look at it, if I'm looking at Riverside right.
There might be one that maybe could be moved. I don't know.
That's a little closer, but you guys seem to stay off pretty far.
That's an existing tree?
Oh, it is. Okay, thank you. We just didn't want you guys putting in the investment of new trees and then potentially.
Are there any new trees planted on the Riverside, or is that all existing?
These are all new. Okay. These are all new. These are all existing. So, from here over is new, which is about 50 feet off of Riverside.
Okay.
These are all existing over there, so whatever you gotta do with the road, I guess at that time. You let the people choose to move it.
That should be fine, yeah. Is there any other?
Yeah, probably just the extension of that driveway access permit, or the. Is that just a permit extension or renewal or however that gets handled?
That would make sense. And that just reiterates the staff comment, so that's.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, I guess that's the other thing, is I always like to do the catch-all. All the staff comments from the earlier meeting with the developer also be incorporated. Is there anything else? Tracy, anything else from the staff perspective that we're missing?
No, but you had mentioned earlier bike combinations, bike grass or anything. I don't know if that's something that you want to
part of the existing condition right now for Riverside is not a place I would want to bike. But potentially when Riverside is reconstructed, potentially there's discussions of bike lanes, and it might be possible that staff might go to your facility, especially if there's a connection through the neighborhood. There's a neighborhood connection, and to come from Riverside, we've been pushing or encouraging bicycle parking for other facilities. And it's also one other way. Sometimes you can save on parking a little bit if people are willing to bike during the summer months. That's a question for the Planning Commission. Do we want to encourage the multimodal side of it, especially with the Fox River Trail right there? Somebody could potentially bike in from farther out. Not a lot of parking, but do we want to encourage or recommend a bicycle rack?
That's a good idea.
We talk about it, so.
Mm-hmm. I like bikes.
But I'm not aware that we have, Tracy, a preference of the type of rack. I mean.
No, we don't, but we could certainly provide some information on racks that are better than others if they're looking for that information.
So, number are we going to recommend?
I'm sorry?
Any certain number of available spaces, bike spaces?
Well, there's 58 parking stalls, so maybe something that would be capable of holding two bicycles? One for every 25?
10% is a common requirement for bike parking.
So. Okay, one for every 50 in Bellevue.
Yeah, well,
where that came from.
I don't know. It's
well, what would we like? And then if there's nothing else,
five or six, a rack for five or six bikes.
So. Typical bike racks come in increments of two, so if you want to recommend four or six, we're not opposed to that.
Mm-hmm. So. That would make sense, so.
How about six?
Is there any other Planning Commission comments?
They did mention that there were some wetlands on site, so I would recommend that they obtain all approvals required by Brown County, DNR, and Army Corps of Engineers for filling.
Anything else? I'm not going to expect everyone to remember all this, so I guess we can either do this. One person can be brave and say everything that we've just discussed, and then Tracy, between you and I, we can cover it all. Because I'm not going to expect there's too many points for one person to try and remember.
Halfway through. We got to.
So who wants to be brave, unless there's any other additions?
I'll make the motion to approve with those conditions. I think you covered everything.
And I'll second.
Hanson, and then Tracy, should we just run through those real quick? What do you have for the record? So we.
I have 15 of them. If you just want me to, if there's a dumpster location relocated, the setback on the east side, 5 feet, try to get at least a minimum of 5 feet. Work with the neighbors on the buffer. And decide how they want to handle that. Retaining walls, decorative block, more aesthetic, landscape brick for the retaining walls. Access to the neighborhood on the east side, make sure that's shown on their plan that there is an access point going out to the east side. Ground mounted mechanical screens, provide West Astro some kind of landscaping to incorporate that in there. Landscape plan is approved. The drainage or stormwater and erosion plan is approved by our public works director. Lighting plan and the green space requirement will be reviewed and approved by our building inspector. Fencing discussion with neighbors, I already mentioned that. CSM done to combine into one parcel. Driveway access permit is renewed or applied again for the driveway access. All staff comments that were in the memo and the letter from Green Bay Fire. Incorporated into approval, bicycle parking, hold up to six, obtain all approvals for wetland mitigation as required. That's what I have.
Excellent. Thank you. So we have a motion that's been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion carries. Thank you, everybody.
Developer, do you think you guys will be ready to go to the North Shore meeting on October 1st with the changes that were listed here? Because we will put you on there and be ready for that. Okay, so plan on October 1st. If you guys can plan on coming together, that would be great.
And then, Tracy, for the village board meeting, you would. Oh, you're sorry. There's. That's okay. My question is, will all the neighbors be notified of that village board meeting also?
Yes, we will send out another notification, so the village board October 1st will be this will be at village board. Okay. Thank you for coming.
With that, we will move on to...
Yes, Mr. Chairperson, can I just make a comment with respect to the documents that were submitted for this?
Sure.
Tracy needs...
Yeah, okay.
Tracy, just a comment about the documents submitted for this. We regularly see these things submitted, and they do very little work to show the adjacent properties, either how they're demarked or what the structures are, and it makes it very difficult for us to use these documents as an assessment tool. So somehow we need to require that they show surrounding buildings, on adjacent properties.
So are you looking for buildings or more like the lots and whether it's residential or commercial, or what are you really looking for?
Well, I would like to know where the buildings are on the lots. I'd like to know where other streets are, what kind of connectivity there is to, surrounding the property. There's just a lot of information that's missing on these drawings.
I agree, especially on something like this where they're filling in green space. I'm glad I had my tablet with me so I could pull up some satellite imagery so I can see the context. It's just as helpful. They have it in front of you as discussion going on.
Yeah. Well, we could ask for that to show more of the adjoining property, but we could also pull it up if we need to. On the same thing that you were going to have, and look at it on the screen.
Yeah. That part of my question, does this really meet the requirements for site plan documents for site plan review in our checklist? It just seems like it's just not there. So, I don't want to go through it now, but it's just.
But I think it does go, Rodney. But I'll double check. Maybe there are some things that are missing in there. You go through it, the lighting, it's the parking, it's the outdoor storage, it's landscaping.
Well, it's really what's around the property. We're reviewing the site plan with respect to how it fits into the context of the community.
Yeah.
And we don't have any sense of context, but we have to actually go out there and look at it or pull something up on our own. That should really be documented here.
Probably just it'd be really easy just to get aerial imagery of that little parcel. Yeah.
I think the other thing is it makes it tough. Like when we had an audience tonight, or instead of having the developer or their staff come up to each of us, it'd be nice just to have it one time go up and say, "This is what we're looking at." So then everybody understands. So Roger, I think it's a valid point. We've struggled with this before. So maybe next time we have a site plan review, I guess there's two ways to do it. One, require the developer submit that, or we have it we do the work ourselves. I would hate, I think especially with the staff having all the TIF and extra work duties coming your way, it might be nice to do it, but I think it's something that you don't have time to do it. So I'd say we should require the developer to do it, or at least have that discussion at a future meeting.
Yeah, I mean, even if we had like PowerPoint available to them, they came in with their plan, the PowerPoint, yeah. If they could show the aerial photo when they're here, then you know, anyone that's in the audience as well as the board can see it, and it's much easier as you're talking about, well, we can, you know, because he's up there saying, well, we can relocate this. Well, you guys have seen it, but nobody out here is
right.
So it's a good point, and we'll work on that and see if we can, you know, it shouldn't be that hard that they, everyone has, you know, computer skills that they can do something, or you can have PowerPoint available and say, you need to bring this so people can see it in the audience.
Plus, it's hard from my perspective, trying to chair the meeting. There's these other conversations going on, and yet I don't want to shut the people off because they don't have the same access to the information that we do. So I'm trying to be fair,
right.
But if we had something like that, I could shut it down and say, we're talking now, you're not. And
right.
But it's tough if they don't have that.
Right.
So, okay. Good point, Roger.
Yeah, I think certainly even like if only the streets, I mean, people were saying, well, they lived on Taft or Hoover or Link. And we'll, and so I'm trying to fill in.
Exactly.
It took me a while to figure out where west and east was.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and even west commercial property versus west residential,
yeah.
That makes a difference too,
yeah.
You know, as far as the buffer areas and all
yeah.
Of that. So that's
like,
a good
point. It's a public meeting, and it'd be nice that the public can participate in the actual information. But
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So now we'll move on to agenda topic 7, approval of the site plan review process with the addition of T&D concepts.
This we've gone through several times. All the changes are noted in the comment section. If there's anything else that do you want to add? There is a question. I'm just thinking we should have by now repeated this, but 1, 2, 3 pages.
Actually, I think there was a couple things that Aaron was looking for clarification. I had a comment on that. I basically said, is there a way we could allow it in some areas of the village and maybe not other areas of the village? And then, are these aesthetically pleasing? Are these something we even want in our community? And like at Austin's, they have a drop box, and you're right, they are proliferating. But wouldn't this actually take a village board decision to really set standards? Because right now, there's none.
Or newspapers, like down at Sesti's. I think they have the newspaper boxes outside.
I think the location of them makes a difference, though, because you've got the red box that's right up alongside the building, like a Coke machine would be. But a lot of those donation bins are actually along the edge of the parking lot, way out.
They're almost by the street.
Yeah.
Almost to the street. So.
Aaron asked a good question. Are they something the village wants to allow? I mean, should we take a stance on this and make a recommendation to the board? Or
we can't allow or disallow them in our site plan review ordinance. We have to do that in the zoning code.
Okay.
So we're, all we're saying here is that if they're going to have them, they have to show them on their documentation.
Oh, that's all we're, okay.
That's all we're
okay.
saying is that it has to be shown.
Well, then absolutely, yes, we want them shown.
Yeah.
Because we got burned at the gas station where all of a sudden here comes the propane tank and here
yeah.
comes the, what else do they have out there? Oh, ice machine.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think, I don't never want to be We got the sidewalk, and then there's something put in it. So I guess that answers the question. Yes, we want all that.
Propane tanks.
Should we expand that and say, show? I mean, if it be a wood box or whatever, I don't care what kind of box. If it's something that is going to take up space and would impact either pedestrian movement or vehicle movement or whatever else, we would want it shown on the plan.
And it does say, if you back up a page, it's saying location and navigation and dimension for everything in the proposed, and then it's working all these things. And this is the site plan review, so in answer to your question, Roger, from a minute ago, it does say on here adjacent streets and street right-of-ways, on-site streets and street right-of-ways, and then it does, you know, obviously get into the vending and machines and donation bins and all of that, but these are all things that should come through site plan review, this list that we're just looking at right now. So you're right that they should have adjacent streets and right-of-ways and side streets and all of that shown.
So under item HI, where it says all buildings and structures, we should probably modify that to read including buildings and structures on adjoining properties.
I don't know that should necessarily be required on the plan, because a lot of times you don't survey that far, especially if the building is, you know,
well, they're just
significant distance into the other lot, unless you're going to put an aerial on the plan, and then that's not going to necessarily be an exact location. I think maybe providing something that shows it, definitely, but included on the...
Can we add, like, an element here? Do they submit everything to you digitally, I'm assuming? Or do
no.
Is it all by paper? It's all hard copy?
It's all paper.
So I mean, can we require
for digital
copies of everything?
Because
we could do, in terms of, I don't know how we'd add that in there, but all this should be required digitally, and then also, so then we have, okay, there it is.
Yeah.
Along with maybe an aerial photo. I mean, those are attainable easily.
Yeah.
So just add that in there in the digital,
okay.
So that it can be utilized. So it doesn't have to be part of the... I guess paper solution.
That would show the buildings, and I think it wouldn't be too difficult for them, but then you guys could see it. And
yeah, because that would be very helpful.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Okay.
And if we need to revisit it, we can revisit it in the future.
Yeah, okay.
So to get back to item K, yes, we want to see that stuff. What's that?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a whole
other. I guess on the next page, Aaron's asking another question. I'm under 7C. Parking lots are located to the side or rear of the principal building, and his comment will need to significantly reduce front yard setbacks in the subject zoning districts. Are there any areas in the village where this requirement is not practical? So Riverside Drive, I don't know, is there any other, like some of the major, I don't know, like Alloway Avenue or some of the major county highways?
It's almost site-specific. If we could recommend parking in the rear or the side, but it's site-specific.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or even like a, you know, a preference that parking is located to the side or rear of the principal building. And if it can't be because of some of these other reasons, and because there's only four that isn't redone yet, at least it's an option that they would have.
I think that's a good compromise. What does the rest of the Planning Commission?
To say that we prefer it?
I think until our code is updated, it's kind of we're not where we want to be. But this is better than what we have. Then Aaron's got another question. Continue. Does the village want to require screening brick stone wall where the parking lots abut public streets?
I
I think dense shrubs look nice, too, if you can get them planted at large enough size. Then it's a little more green rather than just seeing brick.
It's also nice not to have lots for people to be at night completely cut off from traffic and visibility in the street. Just a safety concern.
Well, I don't like if a car was leaving the highway and all of a sudden you hit a brick wall, too, if you're close by, but that's just my perspective. There's clear zones and other stuff, depending on the highway, too.
For berms, sometimes you can do nice things with berms. So,
I think he's just giving an example, which is fine. See, I have a hard... Where we are, I have a hard time with brick fire, because you're right, there's so much flexibility that depending on what the site and what's being proposed. So I want the opportunity, but not every time it makes sense to do that.
Well, and Roger brought up earlier too, this isn't really the place to require things, the review, the site plan review.
So should we just strike that and just try and remember that that needs to be addressed when we update? Yes.
You want to take C out altogether, 4C out altogether? Is that what you're saying?
No, we're saying that we would add preference for parking lots are located in the side, but then we wouldn't do some of the other questions that Aaron had asked, we wouldn't follow up on in here, per se. So the only change is adding preference for.
We should probably just put in here a similar note that the owner should consider the use of the provision of parking for bicycles.
Yes.
Too, since we
I agree. Do we say preference or provision? What's
provision?
Provision? I guess like an example, if the old Village Hall site is ever reconstructed and we want to have that urban feel in Webster, why would we want to put a parking lot out in front? So if we don't even put that in here, then it's something that we're looking at.
And it may be quite a while before we get to the zoning code review. So.
Okay. So, Tracy, you have provision for bicycle parking?
Okay. So, put it in that same one. Parking lot has to be located beside the principal building. And
then just put D.
Put a D.
You know, provision of parking for bicycles.
Anything else on that page? On the next page, so it starts with the small d, or number 9 is on here also. Another comment from Aaron, I'm under 9A. Do you want to list any other materials? Exterior insulation, finished systems, stucco, wood siding, vinyl siding, others.
They added some of that, it looks like, further down.
Well, we should actually consider roofing materials since many sloped roofs are highly visible.
Okay, and then also under B, he had a comment, should these types be allowable in the highway business use district? I don't even know offhand how much highway business district we have in the village.
Conform with something broader than an alloy, rather than additional materials.
What do you mean, atomized?
So we're differentiating between these. So are these materials are considered something that we wouldn't want because they're precast?
nature? I'm just trying to figure out why there's that separation.
Oh,
just because it's a different...
Under 9A? Yeah. Is that... Oh, it's just basically
no,
saying...
9B?
Oh, 9B?
In the light industrial, we're looking at our highway business use district. It depends on how much we have, but I just wonder if that corresponds to some general notion of what belongs in these different types of districts in other municipalities or other types of zoning codes.
I don't know. Tracy might know. I don't.
You know what?
Where the differentiation between the residence A, B, A, C, professional office types of cladding versus the light industrial district and highway business use district? Is that just some standard that's generally accepted that there's these different materials that may be added on in industrial districts?
Yes, industrial because, you know, you're all...
So there's not as visually...
Right, okay. Yes, because just where they're located. Can you see this okay, guys, or not really? The highway...
I'm going to get out this.
The Kendra, isn't it like the Costco is tilted in place?
I'm scared to blow me up.
So I don't know that it's an ugly building.
No, highway,
you can definitely have...
District, decorative tilt-up panels.
Business use district is pink.
Yeah,
so there's very
and
little.
I think it's requiring it here.
There's one. They're only allowing that in the light industrial and the highway business. Not that we would get such a large scale building, probably, but we're not allowing that in the other district.
Along this area, so that's all it is. Now, industrial, we have very little industrial, which is the gray. And some of this, as we've talked about in the past, really needs to be rezoned because if you look, you know, by Eves and off of here, St. Joseph come down,
right.
It's all industrial down there. Do we really want industrial down that area? It is, yeah. And there's even commercial in there now. So it's not even it's a great use in there at this time. I mean, it is a right use, but it's zoned industrial. So there really isn't a lot of areas. Maybe in this area, you know, off of Marine Street, now with some industrial area down there, but again, is that best use? Probably not in that area. So there really isn't a lot of industrial that's actually in existence at this time. So, yeah, there's not much highway.
Thank you for getting the map. That helps clear that up.
Yeah.
So it's not that big of a deal, really. So should we just ignore that for tonight?
It can go in there. It's either strike that or keep it in there.
So just keep it in there? We're fine with...
Yeah.
Which was...
Sorry.
And those, the highway business use district, those are probably gas stations?
Yes.
Right now?
Yeah. And there's just the ones, they're really up on the north end of Webster. It's like that labor.
Oh, yeah.
That gas station just to the south of that. And those are the two... that are in the highway business. So, you know, maybe you don't want it
let's strike
in
that
area because that's really in a commercial
residential. So maybe
just leave it with the industrial district.
Yeah.
Because then you'll get a better product
that
you know, if it's
redeveloped
in that area.
And then we'll be rezoning eventually the light industrial, so we don't have this.
So then you may not have any.
Okay. Take it out then.
Then I would...
Yes.
To carry on from my comment earlier, we should have an IX under 9A. Durable roofing materials on sloped roofs consisting of metal panels, tile, or shingles, or similar architecturally appropriate materials.
I just wrote roofing materials. I didn't go that far.
Well,
right.
Okay.
If anything else on that page, on the next page, under, I guess, B, and then it's 2, Aaron just had a comment, could add extension verbiage similar to PDD, and I like the consistency, so I thought that was a good idea. And then he didn't really have a comment on the next page. On the following page, he did say he made the preliminary consultation a requirement rather than optional. I think that's very good.
We've been requiring it, you know, since I've been requiring it.
And then the next page, so it starts with A, B, C, D, and then number 3, comment, add, plan should show existing vegetation to be removed, transplanted, or remain. And he was going to call that E. I think that makes sense also.
Yeah, okay.
But then the interesting one that came up tonight, maintenance, number 6. Should we require a long-term maintenance agreement?
What's our code on that in terms of fences? When can neighbors take action when a fence becomes dilapidated or not maintained?
You know, if it's falling apart or there's some issues with it, unsafe, they get in touch with the code enforcement officer. They'll go out and look at it and see what the condition of the fence is. And then, depending on what it looks like, he can require them, between him and the building inspector, to repair that fence, you know, between the adjacent properties. So we do have provisions, and it's probably in our code enforcement section of the code. Because Mark, I know our code enforcement officer has worked on that in the past and required people to fix their fences.
So that's not something they have to have some kind of a written agreement signed that they will maintain. It's just kind of an expected.
Right. Yeah. I mean, number 6, I would see. I mean, it does say fences in there, but, you know, it's the vegetation too. It calls for. And I don't know if you per se have anything in the code to require people. I mean, if the weeds get out of control, then you have the weed ordinance, and they require them to go and take the weeds out. But if they have done their planting and just aren't taking care of it and things are failing, I don't think we could require, we have anything elsewhere in the code that would require them to do that and take care of, you know, the shrubs or whatever were planted originally. I mean, it does say 2 years that the planting has to be done within two years of the construction. You know, maybe you could put in something that, you know, they must be maintained and kept up for 2 years, because once they're established, hopefully they'll make it and they'll be there.
But couldn't we always go back 5 years later if a tree dies and say, and let them know that was part of the approval for your site plan and that needs to be replanted, that we wouldn't have to have an agreement if that's how the project was approved, right?
That's true, yes.
I was wondering that on the fellow who talked about his burn, didn't get. I wonder what the process was, why he didn't come back and do something about it. I can imagine those situations occurring every once in a while.
We weren't a planning commission back then. We were a ragtag planning and zoning committee that did zoning and not anything else. So it's probably a different time, different staff.
Do we need a review process to go back in a year or two from the initiation of something, go back and make sure they followed through, or do we have a process for that? Should we have?
The building inspector does, you know, signs off for occupancy.
Okay.
And he would be checking on it, you know, maybe a year later he wouldn't, but, you know, maybe that would be something maybe the forester would notice, or someone else would notice.
So it just kind of depends. So there's the agreement that they do this, but there's actually no check after the fact.
They usually come back as complaints, like a neighbor would notice it. And
okay.
So what's the Planning Commission preference? Do we want to take 6 out or leave 6 in?
I would leave 6. That's just saying that they're responsible for doing it. I think the comment was, do we want to incorporate a similar to our stormwater management? We require a long-term maintenance agreement with that. That they have to keep that stormwater management, whatever it is, functional and working.
So that's a contract form that they have to sign.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So
the DNR requires that gets recorded with the property.
It gets recorded with the property that they are required to do that long-term maintenance on their stormwater.
Is that only because of the DNR requirement?
Right, yes.
I can see that with landscaping. There's an agreement, you're coming in this community or you're changing something in this community, and this is what you agree upon, and you maintain it to that specification. So you're putting in plantings, don't let those plantings die.
I could see doing that.
Yeah. I mean, you certainly could. You know, I mean, there are issues. When I was in Ashwaubenon, we would have three plantings required. 2 years later, 3 years later, they would not be taken care of them. They look like they just look terrible. And there was nothing that we could really do to make them take care of them or make them better. So you could certainly do something like that.
That way the maintenance, but the maintenance gets performed by the village then and assessed back, or just they have an obligation within a certain time period to correct the issue?
I would say that you would have a certain time period that they would have to correct the issue and take care of it.
We could, and you could always just issue citations for non-compliance with the site plan, so you could get that taken care of quickly. I had a question back under lighting standards on 9, and there was a sentence added, all exterior lighting must be reduced or turned off accordingly as required by the village lighting ordinance. I'm not seeing anything under the lighting section that says anything about when that would have to be turned off, like 1 hour.
Are you looking on site plan review?
I am. Yep.
Yeah, I think in the regular lighting section, it talks about lighting and
There is something in signage, but would that also be lighting, like parking lot lighting? That would be separate, right? Like an hour after the business closes or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then we're talking about the last one we just talked about. They're on 24/7. So for them, mm-hmm. the lighting really has to be on all through the night because they're there. I mean, the neighbors will complain about it, but really their business is 24/7. You know, I'd have to check. I thought there was something that maybe I'm thinking of the signage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
I think it is signage.
Yeah. Yeah. The motion signs have to go off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if there's anything about lights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything. I have to double check.
Anyways, do we have to propose the text for the maintenance agreement, or just say that we'd like to.
If you want to put it in there, just say that, you know, in that maintenance section.
Yeah, so we would.
Like long-term maintenance agreement will have to be.
How about the property owner shall engage in a long-term maintenance agreement with the village?
Any other comments on the second to last page or the last page? I have one comment, and that is, and I forgot to mention this tonight during the 3001 Riverside discussion. When we did our field review and we went on our bike ride, like we went across the street and we saw the pavement busted up where the garbage trucks go in. Should we have a standard? I just forgot it. I wrote a note even to myself, and I never read it. Should that be in our site plan review, that maybe they, if they're going to have heavy loads or garbage trucks or those kind of things, that they beef up that pavement structure or in that area?
It looks like they do have concrete in this one, so I think we're covered.
In this one, but
I do think that it should be required.
Yeah, right, and it should be 7-inch thickness.
Is that Craig's preference also? I think 7 inches. I mean, do we want to give it a specific?
One thing that when we had talked to Trevor had talked to Craig about that when he came up last time. So I'm just
really. Yeah, he said something about he wouldn't approve anything like that because the boat should be held liable for doing that.
Yeah.
So if we don't do that.
Do you just say an adequate pavement structure to support the loads or something?
Right. And that's what he kind of suggested, that we don't want them to be saying, okay, that pavement has to be
Okay, that's fair.
12 inches of base, because then the responsibility falls on the village. He said that's their responsibility to make it the dimension or the width that needs to be to hold up to.
But it's something the developer may not even anticipate. I mean, they build their building and off they go.
Yeah, I'm trying to think where we talk about. Here it is.
Oh, number 7.
We should know. But they want to do the work and find the house job.
Oh, for refuse bins? In there, we could just put a statement at the end of that saying that, you know, they need to have appropriate, you know, concrete or driving services to fill up the, you know, the garbage trucks coming in or whatever.
That sounds good.
You said it was over here.
When we went, yes, there was some heaving and it was just not.
Was the village site the problem for that? Anything?
No, we really don't. I mean, it's, you know, it's their facility. Mm-hmm. It just looks terrible and we can't.
Oh, so this, I'll stop the questions. I didn't see where it was. I was imagining maybe the sidewalk.
No. This is actually property. So the concern is if garbage trucks or heavy load vehicles go in and they set up a parking lot area, that area is going to get pounded, right? That track. So just, can we do something so we plan for it? So pending those changes, we are asked for an approval of the site plan review process. And this is just basic, this is a starting point to get us some T&D concepts. I mean, we still, hopefully, we'll get more sophisticated in the future, but with where we're at with staff time and availability and expertise, this gives us some flexibility that we didn't have. Any additional Plan Commission comments? I would entertain a motion.
Move to approve with comments we've made this evening.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Trish, you got that? Roger and Adam?
Yeah.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The motion carries. Moving on to agenda topic 8. Set timeline for comprehensive plan update approval. Tracy?
The board has approve the public participation process that you see here on the back of your sheet at their February or April or whatever. No, June or June. And Trevor and I just went through and kind of looked at our timeline, where he's at on updating the whole comp plan, and put in the date. So if you go down the line, the 30-day, what we're recommending is a 30-day public hearing period start October 21st and run through November 19th. During that time, you had said, through this process, you wanted to have a public open house to allow people to come in, go through it with them, explain what's in the plan or any changes. So that, I just put a recommendation of the week of November 4th or the week of November 11th. That would be about halfway between the public hearing time period. Public hearing be held on November 25th during your regular Plan Commission meeting. Maybe start at 5:30. So you can have the public hearing early, maybe go 5:30 to 6:30, or 5:30 until it's done, and then have your regular meeting after that.
Tracy, one question I had with that. Sometimes I've seen when the village board has public hearings and no one comes, and they basically read it three times. This public hearing's open, and it kind of will take comment, hey, we're closed. And so maybe an hour is fine, but I don't know if we're going to have an hour's worth of...
We could just schedule this way too. We could put the public hearing first in the meeting and then start at 5:30 and then just have your plan commission right after that, you know, just go right into it.
I would prefer that versus being here an hour with hanging out. I mean, it's fun and we could have great conversation, but we can keep moving that way.
Okay. And then the plan commission would approve it at their November 25th meeting. You could do it, you know, hold a public hearing and approve right after that. And then the village board can approve it at their December 3rd. Or if you don't feel comfortable with that, you want to blur it out to another meeting, then you could approve it at your December meeting, and then the village board would approve it in January. My preference was to get it done in 2013. That's why I did it that way. But if you're not comfortable with that, we can put it out and have the approval at Plan Commission at your next meeting rather than the night you have your public hearing. But either way is acceptable.
It's been discussed for a long time. I guess the one question, have the other village committees been made aware of the planning, comprehensive plan update process? Just so they're, I mean, they should probably be copied on this meeting that we'd have during the 30-day public hearing. Just as a courtesy, I don't know if it's put in their packets or send them an email or just give them a heads up.
Yes, we will. And economic development went through the economic development chapter. Historic preservation has looked at it. We've had, you know, the other committees have been aware and involved in sections that they would get involved in. So we have put it out to them, and actually economic development went through it at one of their meetings and made some suggestions that were incorporated into that chapter as well.
Okay.
But we certainly can do that too.
Is there any comments? I see, Tracy, you put some dates that work for you and some dates that don't work for you, and unfortunately some of the dates that work for you don't work for me and vice versa. Has any of the other planning commission members looked at your dates, and are you guys ready to say? I mean, we don't necessarily have to schedule that meeting, but it'd be good to kind of say, yes, this is what we're going to move forward with, and this is the date. Tracy basically said for the week of November 4th, the only day available for you is Thursday, November 7th, and that does not work for me. And then you said the week of the 11th is more open but closer to the public hearing. That's kind of a concern that we're getting too close, but... Well, I think the key is that we're having, I mean, people can show up to the public hearing also. It's just more of an informal setting to have the public meeting. So we're giving multiple choices that we don't necessarily have to give. So it's kind of, I don't have a concern with that. Right now,
I don't necessarily have to be there either. If the dates were better for you the week before, you can certainly host that on your own. You know, the thing is, Village Board will be having some budget meetings. And we may or may not have them. If we finish the budget before, then we wouldn't have those. So, you know, if you want to post it that week before, that's fine. I may or may not be available.
I would prefer that there be either Craig, yourself, or some staff there, because we potentially could get into issues that you might deal with different characters or individuals on a regular basis that we are not aware of. And that wouldn't necessarily be fair to us as volunteer members. Right now I'm leaning towards that second week of the options of the 11th. Like for myself, the 11th, 12th, and 14th work for me.
Of November you're looking
correct,
at.
Correct, of November, okay. Yes, Barb.
For the public hearing?
This is the the 30 day, okay. This is the public meeting.
Right.
Okay.
I think we might want to have the computer, and then versus having people page through paper copies, if somebody has a question, I have a question on this part of, maybe we just go right to it. And then we can share it with everybody versus having the same discussion again and again and again.
I'm available.
So do we have a preference, 11th, 12th, or 14th?
I can't do the 14th.
12th would be better. 11th is better in this day, I don't know.
Monday is here.
What day is the 11th?
Monday.
Monday? 5:30. Monday is rough for me. I have a class at the end of 5:15.
Yeah. Oh. I would prefer Tuesday.
I would prefer Wednesday.
So the 12th?
Sorry, Adam. I think the 12th. Does the 12th work for most?
Yeah.
Either day.
So let's plan it right now for the 12th. Now, should we have a backup date just in case there's another village committee or something else we're not anticipating that all of a sudden they have some major something going on and we can't get this room?
Sure. And what time would you like to do it? You want to start at 5, 6, 6 to 8? You want to add 2 hours? You know, if it's an open house, you know, around an hour or...
5 to 7 seems reasonable.
That sounds reasonable, Roger.
Okay, so 12th is one date, and then is there a preference on another date that would? So 12th is the first choice.
13th?
13th is my preference. Okay,
13th.
You guys can have it. I just won't be here. That's fine.
Jeez.
Do we need a quorum for that at all?
Well, it's an open house now, not necessarily. You're just hosting it. You're not going to take any action. You're not going to make any motions. You're just here to strictly host it, answer questions. You know, maybe, you know, we'll do a brief presentation, or we'll just have to be as more of an open house and walk around and talk to people either way. And maybe do a brief presentation at 5:30 or something. You know, and say that's what it is, you know.
We should have sign-in sheets to document how many residents came. We might want to have somebody, if Trevor's around, you can take pictures or something, just if there's a lot of people to document, just like when they had the original comp plan, they had pictures and just showing that we're having dialogue with people. We might want to have a comment form so people can write their own comments. I'll probably think of a billion other things also. I'll just,
yeah,
we'll set it up like a regular meeting.
Organize it, so whatever you guys think about it, how you want to handle it.
And then we should also work on a media announcement to get that out to citizens. And I don't know if there's other service clubs like, Alloway Bikes and Walks, or maybe there's Friends of the Fox River Trail, or there's Kiwanis Club or whatever else, and say, hey, if you're interested in the future of Alloway, come on down. But we should, in our media release, we should make it clear that we're here listening. We're not in decision-making mode. And so you were just asking for setting a timeline. Do you need a formal motion, or that's just, it sounds like we're in agreement?
Yeah, does everything else work as far as the dates or everything else? Are you okay with those? Do you have a concern about having your approval if the night is a public hearing? If we're going to have it at a different meeting?
Is it okay to have it on the week of Thanksgiving, or is that, do you try to avoid having meetings that week because people are gone?
Which meeting?
The 25th, right, the week of Thanksgiving.
No, I don't know. We don't necessarily, I mean, I think we've had our plan commission because it's early enough in the week, it's a Monday, but I just wanted you to know that that is Thanksgiving week, just in case you had a concern about that, or wanted to try something to move your plan commission meeting to a different day. I just kind of left it at the regular.
I think it's fine, especially we could put something like an invite on the website. I mean, there's different ways we could reach out to the public. I mean, the key is we're giving opportunities. And if people can't make it, maybe we say, hey, send comments to yourself or me or whatever. I mean, and we'll add it into the record. So if nothing else on 8, we'll just... Good job, thank you for putting that together, and we'll accept those that timeline and move on. Agenda topic 9, discussion on preparation for end of the year review and creation of 2014 project list.
We did, I asked her to come back and see whether she had any calendar up there. The planner's website, we checked into that, and we never really got anybody signed up for that. So that nobody really used this system. So we didn't sign up yet, so that's kind of the day that it should be reviewed or not. And then we did find the official map, which is the one hanging on the fire. Left side of the board. That is actually our official map. So
excellent.
We talk about that a lot, and Trevor had talked to Craig about it to see if we could get a copy of it. So that is it, and we'll maybe get it made bigger or.
Is it digital at all, so we can make changes to it, or how's?
I would assume that it is digital. I'm sure that Luann has that in her maps.
I've been after you for a long time, so thank you for bringing it. We can maybe look at that maybe the next meeting, just spend some time looking at it, or, I don't know, maybe make copies, or if people are interested or have a small work group. I'm just concerned that there's things in the village that are no longer accurate. Like LeBron is something that comes up. What's shown on there, I'm sure it's a public street, and maybe that's not going to happen. So,
what's the date on that map? Do you know? Is it older?
But, you know, the official map for Abilene and the development is probably your official map is Gospel. You know, because you have a lot of land that's yet to be developed, and you have your roadways set, and when a developer comes in, probably the first thing you guys look at is that official map. But for us, because we're so developed, it's not a big deal.
Oh, 2001.
What year?
2001.
2001, okay.
The last update.
But there are some vacant land along Riverside. If somebody wanted to do a street connection or something else, I mean.
Yeah. But this is, you know, as a developed community, it's not quite as important as a community that's still in the development phase.
But it's one of our obligations as a plan commission, so it's nice to have it, actually.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, just looking at the list that Trevor had put together, yes, there's a number of things that we did accomplish this year. So that's a positive. Because it's so late, I don't know if we should just defer this till next month. And then I guess I would ask all the planning commissioners to look at this and say, what do we need to deal with? And like some of the stuff, like I had sent my comments to Tracy, my list for 2014, and put in her zoning code update. We have not yet put together an estimate, and I know Roger will ask what kind of zoning code is desired. I mean, it's we need to have that conversation. I think it's a worthy conversation. We can't do a request for proposal if we don't know what we want, or we'll be snowed by any whoever puts it together for us. So,
as far as an intern goes, too, the UWGB put in for a big grant this year, and they had asked us to do some letters of support for it, which we did. And they actually received a grant to pay for, I think it was up to 48 interns that they will have available that they will pay for with this grant to go out to the communities and work. So I'm hoping that since we've given a letter of support, that maybe we will get one of the interns that they will pay for. So I just sent a bunch of information to the woman that Ashley
We're laughing because our UW Green Bay contact heard about it the first time right now.
I was just designated this semester our internship coordinator for our department.
48.
I got 48 this year.
I think it's 48. Don't quote me on that. It was a large number of interns that they got funding for.
That's like two. Well,
who's this
two?
Is this like general for the university? Do you know?
I'll forward you the lady's email. I can't remember who she's working with or what department. I can't remember.
I thought there were two people.
The first name is Ashley Keith, I think it was.
I guess one thing before we leave this, I was doing a quarter study for another project, and I was looking at different websites because we're going to do the work in-house. So I was looking at the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program, and they actually have mapped like general environmental sensitive areas, so like along the East River. And we all know that there's floodplains, that kind of stuff, but I guess for 2014, we should probably have a conversation when development happens along the East River. Do we take that information into account? And I'm not sure. Maybe we do. But it's until I was really looking at this, I'm like, wow, there's these maps, and nobody's really talked about some of the floodplains or wetlands or how we develop things in those areas. And I think also the East River is going to take greater significance as the trails widened. I mean, maybe there's more opportunities. Maybe some businesses would want to be down there. Maybe another old folks home or something would be on the area and take advantage of the trail.
Well, is there developable land?
If it's floodplain
in the area
or wetlands, doesn't the DNR and state take precedent in some of the?
Do you contract with Brown County for your floodplain? So Matt.
Okay,
Matt,
so they Matt covers
if
it.
If it's wetlands, then it goes to Peter Schlein's usually.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why we don't have the conversation. The county handles it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if there's a new development, our building inspector checks and makes sure if it's in floodplain, they make sure they're doing it right, or they're getting involved, or whatever the case may be. So he does get involved in it as well.
so that we don't need to talk about it. But it, there might be opportunities like there was the fire, and now what happens with that property? And so there's just some odds and ends in the community that maybe we could have greater planning commission discussion and recommendation to the board. So with that, we'll bring that back for the agenda for next meeting. And speaking of that, agenda topic 10, next meeting date, October 28th.
The only problem I have with that is I was looking at the calendar. I have a budget hearing that night from 5 to 7, but they never last 2 hours. They always go on until 5 till about midnight. so maybe not that bad, till 10. So I don't know if you want to change the date for the planning commission to a different night. I have a budget meeting also October 30th. I don't know, or if you want to combine your October meeting with your public hearing and instead of getting into November then, you know, later November, or if you do it with your open house, you put it then, but
Do you expect anything to come in, like another site plan or anything, Tracy? Have you heard of anything coming in?
You know, the only one that I can see maybe getting started is maybe Hilltop. But we're meeting with him at the end of this week to see what we would like to do with that. But that may not, I shouldn't say that, that will not be ready yet.
So do we move it or do we just carry it on? I guess my one concern is, because the budget discussions are happening, are we going to get something for zoning? Are we going to get some of our... I mean, it sounds like our internship problem isn't that big of a deal. But if there's other things that the Planning Commission wants for 2014, I guess I'd encourage members to send me an email and just say, hey, here's something we should consider, and then I could work with Tracy. Because we can't wait until the meeting. It'll be
too late.
I don't know if we're ready for the zoning ordinance discussion. I'd like to get the comp plan update. I mean, there's some other things hanging out there that we just haven't gotten to yet. And I don't want us to take on too much and not get anything done.
Yeah, we can certainly move it to the 21st.
Does that work for everybody?
Probably.
6:30?
Thank you.
And any other agenda topics for October 21st? Besides talking about the prep for the end of the year review and creation of the 2014 list. I guess, Tracy, I would ask for an update on what the village board action is on the Windermere Estate. Just what concerns, do they take all our recommendations? Is there, I mean, there's a lot of things for them to discuss. And then the T&D concepts, that'll hopefully, does that need to go on to the village board then for adoption?
Yeah, that'll go on to the village board October 1st. With Windermere as well, both of those will go on to the village board.
And will the comp plan update, does that need to go to village board or do we just run with it now?
I might take the timeline to have an informational item. I don't necessarily have to prove it because they've already approved the public participation.
And then I guess the other, because we don't have that heavy of an agenda, I would like to have some sort of a discussion on the official map. Maybe we'll spend 20 minutes just taking a look at it. And it would be helpful if it was in a digital format, if it could be sent. I don't know what the file size, it's pretty dense, but if it's something that could be sent to everybody, or maybe a paper copy, 11 by 17 or something.
Okay.
It looks like it was updated regularly. It says revise, and then 2001 is just...
Okay. Yeah, I'm assuming, I'm sure we might have paper copy of that, electronic, so we can certainly send it out to you, or we'll use a PowerPoint that night so we can put it up and
Does anyone else have any agenda topics they'd like for the October 21st meeting?
Do you want to talk about the format for that November 12th or 13th open house?
Yes, that's a good idea. We should plan for that. Okay. We should put out a whole basic plan.
Yes. And who's going to do what, how the money and what, so that'd be great.
And what maps and displays? I mean,
yes.
And does the village have easels and everything else, or do we just want to put stuff on tables?
Yeah, we have easels and we can use tables too. You know, we put some plans out at the presentation or whatever. There'll be one here available electronically as well, like a hard copy or something.
Hearing nothing else, I would move to item 11, adjournment.
So moved.
By Retzoff, a second. Perillo, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed nay. Thank you for the good comments tonight. I think we had very good discussion on the Riverside development. And obviously when it's controversial, people show up. And Tracy, can we shut this off? Which one is it?
I didn't hear what you're shouting.
Just stop.
Yep.